Hi, I'm Jason Stein, publisher of Automotive News. We'll get to the latest episode of Daily Drive in a minute, but I'm hoping you'll spend a few minutes taking our Daily Drive listener survey. We can't thank you enough for listening and want to know more about you, your listening habits, and any other feedback you may have for the program. The survey will take less than 2 minutes to finish and is completely anonymous. So please, visit autonews.com/DDSurvey and take the survey today. And as always, thank you for listening to Daily Drive.
Daily Drive is brought to you by Reynolds & Reynolds. Want to know how dealerships like yours saw increased profit performance dealership-wide? Visit reyrey.com/KPI to read the Impact on Profitability Study. That's reyrey.com/KPI.
I'm Jason Stein, publisher of Automotive News, and this is Daily Drive. It's Thursday, September 17th. The shift to the online world these last 6 months has run head-on into a number of traditional events that would have normally hit the automotive calendar with regularity and consistency. Auto shows, sponsorships of sporting events, product reveals, and traditional retailing. All of those facets would have largely gone unchallenged in a pre-COVID world. Instead, they've all been challenged, and they've all had to reinvent the way automakers go to market, sell cars, and plan for the future. Sitting at the center of all of these discussions is Matt Van Dyke, Director of Marketing for Ford in the United States. Since 2018, Matt has been leading integrated communications, digital consumer experience, brand alliances, revenue management, and retail go-to-market strategies for the automaker. He has a wealth of experience in developing marketing plans around launches, supporting dealers, and planning for big splashes. He's gained a lifetime of experience these last 6 months, as Ford has completely reinvented how it operates. And not that there hasn't been some major news to talk about recently. Bronco, F-150, and a slew of new products to come. So what lessons is Matt learning, and how fast has Ford shifted for this immediate change? We've reached Matt Van Dyke in Detroit, Michigan. Hey, Matt Van Dyke, how are you?
Great, Jason. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. The world has changed in some ways and hasn't changed in other ways. If we think back to when we had you as a guest panelist for our Congress Conversations this summer, let's do a check-in now in September. How's your world at Ford, and what are you most where are your greatest opportunities these days?
Yeah, it's great to talk to you again. And in maybe, I guess, 90 days since we talked last or so, it has been a bounce back. In some cases, a really great bounce back, like manufacturing and supply base and consumer demand. And in other cases, the more gradual one, like people being able to, partially return to work or, you know, get back out and about. Some of the things that have happened, the return of sports on television and some things, albeit partially, right, without people in stadiums. So a lot of great opportunities for us at Ford. We've remained hard at work with our heads down on kind of getting through the summer, but certainly with an eye towards the fall in 2021, where we've got tons of new product coming at us.
Well, a new product, speaking of, when we did talk to you last during Congress Conversations, we talked about the challenge of launching products where you don't have auto shows or your typical launch activities. But you've done a great job. I mean, you've moved to find new creative ways of doing things. I imagine you've learned quite a bit.
We have, and you know, we've definitely tried some things that we wouldn't have done before. When we spoke at the Congress, it was while we were still in the planning stages of what to do since our in-person media hosted events couldn't take place, and therefore things like New York Auto Show couldn't take place, and therefore our, you know, best laid plans on Bronco and the entirely new F-150 reveal couldn't go forth as we had hoped. And what we didn't want to see is just to fall into kind of a pattern that could be what happens in the industry of, you know, kind of corporate talking heads on, you know, Zooms, YouTubes, YouTube live broadcasts, introducing products from a corporate point of view. So what we tried to do is really mix it up a little bit and bring in some different talent to work with us on F-150 with Dennis Leary, for example, and really highlight customers and how they use the product and how the product is new. And then for Bronco, we really felt that not just the nameplate and product attributes needed to come through, but since it was really the reestablishment of the brand, that we needed to make sure the brand positioning was really clear. And because of that, we went out and we talked to different partners, and we found folks who could, beyond our own channels, really help us put out there to people who were interested in the wild and interested in adventure and could get a grasp of what we were trying to do with the brand more so than just the product attributes. So we really have tried a few different things, and we've been really pleased with the results so far.
How do you brainstorm a rethink on vehicles that are that pivotal to the success of the company?
Gosh, it's a great question. I think the marketing and media communications PR organization, we've never spent more time together because of just that reason, the need to try different things, scenario plan, plan for different situations that might occur, figure out how to capture content. So I think what we did is we just took the downtime and we just turned it into more and more, you know, kind of sessions where we talk about what could we do. And I think there were many times where we explored a variety of conversations and we said, let's go pursue them. You know, what might happen with Detroit Auto Show if it doesn't happen? Is there some sort of industry event? If so, does that make sense? If not, you know, can we go out to our biggest, you know, multi-platform partners like Disney and Fox and NBC Universal and get their ideas, you know, share with them, you know, what our brand strategy is and say, you know, what might work with what you're trying to do. And so we did a lot of that. We got really curious, and I think we explored things that we probably never would have pursued before because of the necessity of it.
And as you look toward the future, do you now still continue to operate with a scenario A, B, C, D, just because we still don't know how the rest of the year and next year is going to roll out?
I think that's right. I mean, I think certainly in the near term, while the uncertainty remains where, you know, things continue to kind of get deferred but not canceled, but then you don't know, is it really going to happen? Will, you know, X, Y, and Z auto show go from the fall into the spring? And then if all the auto shows stack up on each other, are they really the place that you want to count on to be able to reveal a product? I think until we get more certainty around, you know, what will happen with the pandemic and vaccines and rapid testing and, you know, continued learning, it's a necessity. You're going to have to keep doing a bunch of scenario planning. And I think when, you know, if I can envision a period of time when maybe we have things like rapid testing and vaccines, I think still there will be the learnings of, you know, what has worked better. And I'm still bullish on auto shows and place-based marketing. I think anytime you can get people to pay to come and experience your product and crawl all over it, it's a great thing. But I think they too will evolve and change and get more interesting.
There's been a lot talked about in the last week or two around what you just referred to, the stacking up of auto shows, potentially auto shows for the spring. Does that concern you at all? What's your opinion on a cadence that could have three significant shows within a short period of time next spring with New York, LA, and Detroit?
Well, I think we have to separate out the two parts of it. Oftentimes in the industry, we think about just like those press days or the media events that surround it.
Right.
But we take away the fact that there's hundreds of thousands, nearly a million people in Detroit and Chicago, and you take New York and LA, and the consumer attendance is really enormous. So for me, if New York, LA, Detroit, Chicago can all do in-person events that are safe for consumers to attend, I think that's a huge win. I think what can't happen is, you know, try and divide out and stack up, you know, business PR announcements and things like that. And I think that's where I think all the brands and all the OEMs are going to have to innovate, do their own thing, and not stacked up on top of each other.
You mentioned earlier the return of live sports and the fact that, you know, just in the last, certainly the last month or so, there's been a, I guess, a more sense of normalcy in that you have all the major sports going, actually a unique scenario in that every major sport was going on one night last Thursday. What's your take on the on that piece of it and how much that means to Ford as a major national sponsor?
Well, we are the automotive sponsor of the NFL, and we're certainly bullish on the return of football, as well as really all the sports getting back at it. I think, you know, you can point to each of them and see success stories, and ideally would like to see people in the stands, because we do so much activation with our local markets and local dealers. And I think they're really feeling the fact that their local investments are compromised, maybe more than, to a degree, some of our national brand investments, which do rely on the broadcast of the live sports. But that is certainly really important to us. Just as I think all marketers look at where can you get scale for the most important product reveals you've got, brand messages you've got, it is really, really tough to beat live sports. And I think even the initial airings and ratings from Thursday Night Football and beyond are bearing it out, that there is a pent-up appetite for people wanting to watch and see. And it's a great platform for us to use as a brand. So we've all been scrambling and nimble and delivering audiences through other places. News ratings have, you know, remained super high, and other live programming or first run scripted programming has done well. But overall, the delivery of sports against our new vehicle buyer audience is really important.
You mentioned dealers. What do your dealers need, and how can you help them right now?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's communication. I mean, we have just quadrupled our efforts to make sure we are staying fully connected. We've done, you know, lengthy national dealer conference meetings in person, continued our committee meetings and things like that, as well as our field force staying in very close touch with our dealers. I think to some degree, without commutes to the office and other things, oftentimes we find ourselves with more time to call dealers and talk to them along the way. A number of things, you know, they've been on a roller coaster, you know, being terrified about what could happen with demand evaporating, then it bouncing back pretty quickly with what initially happened with, you know, used car prices, only to see them spike back up. You know, the challenges of figuring out e-commerce, at-home delivery, adjusting content on the fly to be, you know, relevant. It's been a journey of so many different things, but I think it has shown the resiliency of the dealer network as a whole. And the Ford dealers have been amazing supporting their local communities when they were in serious times of needs. Partners like we have a Ford Credit in-house captive finance who, within days of the pandemic hitting, us partnering, creating content that messaged payment deferrals for customers who needed it. They processed over 300,000 customers who asked to delay their payments. And it's just been incredible to see Ford Credit, our dealers come together in a unified way. And I think that will continue.
And what do you think they've learned, or maybe part and parcel you've learned about the digital retail experience, or even just e-commerce in general over the course of the last number of months?
They have definitely learned that, there is a significant segment of customers who want it and prefer it and are really comfortable because they've gotten used to their Amazon experience and other direct-to-consumer experiences. There's no question automotive purchase is a much more complicated thing, and there are many aspects of it that just aren't binary, meaning, you know, most people don't set out and say, I'm going to buy my car online, and then say every single step of the process I have to do remotely. But what many people do want to do increasingly is more and more aspects of the transaction. And when they run into roadblocks, they get really frustrated. So I think it's going to be a lasting change, no question. Whether you look at Google or McKinsey syndicated studies, by all intents, I think that e-commerce in the auto category has accelerated by 5 years, and I think it will be lasting. So it comes down to really specific things, like, is it about getting a estimate for your used car, or is it about getting a guaranteed value for your trade-in? Is it about being able to apply for credit, or being confirmed by Ford and Ford Credit to get you credit. Things like that are ultimately what make the difference between just being enhanced lead management and really transactional solutions. And so we are committed with providing our dealers the tools they need to service the customers who are increasingly interested in that.
And the customers have no doubt become so much more savvy over the course of just this last period, this last half year, than we could have ever imagined before. Right, Matt?
They have because of necessity and want. You know, there are people who are afraid and they need a new car and they want their lease turned in and they want a new one and they want to make sure a dealer knows how to disinfect it and clean it and drop off keys and do things like that. They want service to be taken care of. And they figured out that there's absolutely always someone who's going to do it. So who's going to do it in the best, most consistent fashion is really the name of the game.
You were scheduled to be with us in late March in person in downtown Detroit for our World Congress. We obviously pivoted to the virtual conversation that we did a couple of months later. And now here we sit in mid-September as we stare at the end of the year, amazingly, in the fall. What have you personally learned, perhaps since those weeks before we were going to see each other live?
Wow. Well, I've definitely learned that work from home can be very effective. And I think part of that is just the anecdote that, you know, if you're the one person out of the office and you're calling into the, you know, conference room of 15 people, half the time they forget you're on the line. But when all 15 people are on the phone and on WebEx and video cameras together, people really quickly figure out how to be respectful of each other, let people talk, you know, get to the point quickly. And the productivity of our team has been amazing. So that was surprising. Didn't know how that would work. I also remain incredibly, incredibly impressed with our manufacturing team and supply base by being able to partner with the UAW and getting back up to speed. And after we got the clear to get back into the plants, not have major disruptions. That has just been so encouraging for us. We just had a dealer call with all of the chairpersons of our dealer associations regionally and really talking about how they've been able to respond to their local marketing and really build towards 2021. And the most important thing for that is the certainty of understanding what their inventory position would look like, what the revenue coming in because of wholesales and allocations look like. And these are the things that have surprised me in terms of our resilience and the steadiness of the Ford operating system. And it's been just so encouraging.
Still got a lot of dealers who we talk to who say, God, if I only had more trucks, I could sell more trucks. Are they going to have more trucks?
They will. I mean, we're in a good position, thankfully, going into the downturn or the surprise, because we had really been building inventory in plans for this summer and fall's changeover for the entirely new F-150. So we were in a good stock position then. We had the delay like everybody else, and now we're back on track with the launch. So we anticipate really good availability as we go forward, and we love to hear that dealers want one more, because that means customers want one more, and we're here to serve.
I can only imagine, finally, that we're going to see some pretty exciting marketing around that truck. It is the home run truck for you guys. It's every cliche that you could pull out as far as what it means to the company. And I'm sure you have some interesting plans up your sleeve.
Well, we certainly put everything into it, no question. And couldn't be more excited about the innovation that we're able to tell the stories of in this truck. Pro Power on board, the technology in the interior, the human-centered design around work surfaces on the tailgate and on the console. When our dealers got their hands on the truck in advance of the press reveal, they were blown away. And our job as marketers is to make sure consumers feel that same sense of enthusiasm. So we are hard at work on telling that story and can't wait for it to break later this year.
And we're right there with you. Matt Van Dyke, thanks so much for taking the time to be with me today.
Thank you, Jason.
We've reached Matt Van Dyke at his home office in Detroit, Michigan. And that's Daily Drive for Thursday, September 17th. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And for a library of more than 120 interviews, go to autonews.com/dailydrive. We'll be back Friday. Now, a word from our sponsor.
In today's automotive market, maximizing existing profit centers and creating new ones is more than a savvy move. It's the biggest factor in getting the most out of every customer opportunity. What would it mean to improve your profit performance in every area of your dealership? More customer pay ROs. More finance gross from new and used vehicles. Fewer write-offs in service. Reduced time required to complete a deal. The key to all of that, and more, is giving your employees the freedom to drive revenue. Time they spend focused on manual processes is time that can, and should, be used in more profitable ways. When this happens, processes are redefined, employees are empowered, and attention can be turned back to the customer. It all adds up to your dealership becoming the best version of itself. The big question is, how much more do you stand to make? How would a 44.3% increase in service department gross affect you? What about a 25.7% increase in combined gross per new vehicle sold? Those aren't theoretical figures. They are real key performance indicators from a 3-year study of dealerships who gave their employees that freedom to do more with their time. With the right tools behind your revenue drivers, you'll see improved profit performance too. To see more key performance indicators from real dealerships like yours, visit reyrey.com/KPI and read the full Impact on Profitability report. That's reyrey.com/KPI.